Well, good evening. We know John as the beloved disciple of Jesus. The purpose of John's gospel was to prove that Jesus was the Son of God by demonstrating the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. You know how the gospel of John begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In chapter 1, John the Baptist testifies to Jesus as the light who takes away sin. John says, "The one who is coming after me has surpassed me because he was before me." He continues, "We have all received one blessing after another from the fullness of his grace. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." And then John's gospel continues to establish who Jesus is by using the first miracle in Cana, where he changes water into wine, followed by more miracles that provide evidence that Jesus is God. He is the bread of life, the water of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd. Jesus healed the government official's son, and he healed the invalid who had been ill for some 38 years. The Life Application Bible states that miracles are events that demonstrate God's power. Almost every miracle Jesus did was a renewal of fallen creation. He restored sight. He made the lame walk. And he restored life to the dead. The miracles were all around the disciples and the followers of Jesus. Jesus came to the people with what he had, knowing that he would be given whatever he needed from God. In today's gospel reading from John, Jesus asked Philip where they could get enough bread to feed the hungry multitudes. It was late in the day, and the people had been walking for miles with little substance. Philip was from Bethsaida, about 9 miles away, so he seemed the likely one who would know where to get food. But Jesus wasn't really concerned about where to get food. Jesus was testing Philip, testing the strength of Philip's faith. By asking for a human solution to satisfy the hungry people, knowing that there was none, Jesus highlighted the powerful and miraculous act that he was about to perform. When Jesus asked Philip where they could buy a great amount of bread, Philip started assessing the probable cost. Philip, looking around for a solution, only sees this youngster who brought what he had, 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Philip offers what the boy had as an unlikely solution to Jesus. Now, we can bet that the disciples had more resources than that boy, but they didn't believe that they had enough, so they didn't offer anything to Jesus. The lesson here is that Philip didn't offer to God what he had. He tried to make a solution for a situation that really called for God's divine power. We are called to believe in Christ, to have faith in Jesus, not because he's Superman, but because he is the God who continues his creation, using you and I, whatever we bring to him. Jesus uses what we have, even when we have to bring whatever we have to bring is small or poor or weak or crippled or with some other desperate need for recreation. More importantly, we can limit what God does with us and in us by assuming what is and what is not possible. Just last week, I participated in a funeral for Brad Burton. If you don't know Brad, he was the man who collapsed in Memorial Park 3 weeks ago Saturday. One of the things that Brad's son said about him was that Brad had a way of taking what was seemingly impossible and making it a reality. Brad had started his business from a one-room office building to what became Burton Construction. And today you can notice Burton cranes all over Houston. I believe that Brad found the strength in Jesus as he prayed every morning before he got out of bed for God's direction for the day. Brad brought what he had, and God used it. You may be wondering, can it really be true that when we bring what we have to Jesus, that it will be enough? As we look out at our weary world, are we wondering if what we have to bring is enough? Another example of bringing what you have can be found in the Brookwood community in Brookshire, Texas. This community is a God-centered educational, residential, and entrepreneurial community for adults with disabilities. Through the grace of God, as their brochure says, the Brookwood community provides an educational environment that creates meaningful jobs, builds a sense of belonging, and demonstrates dignity and respect for adults with disabilities. I had the pleasure of taking a tour of Brookwood Community last week. As I drove into the beautifully manicured grounds of Brookwood, I knew immediately that this community had deep pride for what God has given them. If you've not been out, I recommend that you go. As I began the tour with Travis Duncan, the development officer, he launched into this amazing story of how Brookwood functions. The people with disabilities are called citizens. Travis said that as we walked through the building where the citizens lived, we would not find anyone in their rooms during the day. You see, every person has a job. They are expected to show up to work to continue the incredible, beautiful items that they make and sell in their gift shop and in other retail shops throughout Houston. Each citizen understands that if they do not show up and bring what they have to bring, the work of the community will not get done. They understand that they have a responsibility to contribute every day to making Brookwood the amazing facility that it is. I, maybe like you, have often been like Philip, not thinking that what I had to offer was enough. I believe in times like these, Jesus Christ is asking you and me to partner with him. William Barclay writes in his Daily Study Bible that Jesus needs what we can bring to him. It may not be as much as he needs. It may be well that the world is denied miracle after miracle and triumph after triumph if we do not bring what we have to Jesus. Barclay continues, if we would lay ourselves on the altar of his service, there's no telling what he could do with us and through us. We may be sorry or embarrassed that we don't have more to bring, and maybe rightly so. But that's no reason for failing to bring what we have. Little is always much in the hands of Jesus Christ. Every week, you and I come to God's altar bringing what we have. God reminds us that these simple acts, the breaking of bread and the receiving of wine, are our reminder that Jesus Christ is our Lord. If we offer nothing to God, he will have nothing to use. But if we bring what we have, Jesus can turn it into something wonderful. And remember that Christ never asks us to do something unless he provides the power to get the job done. Through Philip, Jesus shows us that his desire is that we will have enough faith to believe that whatever we have, we will bring to God. and he will multiply its effectiveness beyond our wildest expectations. When we take the first step and make ourselves available to God, he will show us how we can be used to advance his kingdom. And when we live as Jesus lived, we become a community of Christians that act as Russ suggested or challenged us to last week. The cross will be the symbol of our connectedness to bring what we have, and with the help of Jesus Christ, build bridges to further the kingdom of God. Our challenge is to bring our loaves and fishes, no matter how meager or small that they may seem, and put them into the hands of Jesus Christ. The moral of John's gospel today is that the disciples did not yet believe that Jesus could satisfy the needs of so great a multitude from such a small offering. God gives in abundance. He takes whatever we can offer him in time, ability, and resources, and multiplies its effectiveness beyond our wildest expectations. As Ellen read in Ephesians, God working within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Bring what you have. It is enough. And I promise you that if you offer what you have, God will use it beyond your wildest expectations. Amen.